You're listening to a podcast of Spurious Morality. For the first time in a while.
We're back, and it's about time.
Yeah, sorry guys, Connor's back as well.
There's no escaping me. Yeah, we're back, Series three.
We're very back. Like what didn't get a third series? What stopped at series two? I mean, Class didn't even get a series two.
I was going to say Class didn't even get that far, so we're doing
well. Class barely got a series one.
Do you think The War Between the Land and the Sea will get a second series? Doctor Who? Doctor Who might not get a third series.
I mean, that's true. We might actually have had more series than Doctor Who.
That was mean. That was very mean of us.
I really think we should leave that bit there. Get on with the episode. Welcome back to a podcast of Spurious Morality. I'm Johnston, and bringing back this podcast with me is Connor. Hello, Connor.
Hello.
And we genuinely haven't done this for quite a long time. Like, we've recorded podcast episodes and kind of banked them, and you're going to hear them over the next sort of few months. But we've not sat down and recorded an episode with the intention of putting it online within the next couple of weeks for quite some time now.
The last one I did was the Jodie Whittaker one. I haven't recorded since we did the Jodie Whittaker announcement special.
And that was the last one we put online. We have got some stuff stashed away, like we record season by season quite a bit in advance, and we've done some other things. We've had a guest on. We've recorded an episode with a guest, a returning guest. So that should be online in the next few weeks. And that guest has promised to share it all over social media, including Blue Sky. We are on Blue Sky now. We are not on Twitter or whatever the idiot's calling it these days, but we are on Blue Sky. So do hop over there to find us. We're still on Instagram. We're still on Threads. We're still on Facebook. There's probably a few that I've forgotten and need to kind of log back into after having a 6-month break from podcasting. But find us on Blue Sky. We're there. We're spodcast.bluesky.social, whatever the system is on there, with that. Let's put a link in the description to this. That's the best way of doing it, isn't it?
Probably.
Anyway, yeah, let's do that. The point is, it's been quite a long time since we've done this, and it's absolutely great to be back. And it feels like an awful lot has happened. Just around the Hooniverse, like there's so many other things I want to talk about. I've got like 25 coffee bars worth of not really Doctor Who material to discuss, but I think we're keeping it to the worlds of Doctor Who and Big Finish for just these first couple of episodes back. We've been away since April. We kind of did a couple of specials for series one, so we're not going to talk too much about sort of new telly Doctor Who, but from a Big Finish point of view, there's tons to discuss. Give us some of your highlights since April, Connor. Go ahead.
So I've just been flicking through the app here. I didn't realise that this came out after we stopped recording, but The Ninth Doctor and River Song had a box set together, which was pretty big. And it was Christopher Eccleston's last box set for the time being anyway. He has said it's an au revoir to Big Finish and not a goodbye. So hopefully he'll be back at some stage. But for now, that is the end of The Ninth Doctor Adventures. and I know I wax quite lyrical about those, you know, on this podcast all the time, anytime they come up. But I just want to say again how utterly special it was to have Christopher Eccleston, my doctor, back on, you know, playing the role again every 3 months, you know, on a regular basis. That was wonderful. I always said, you know, over the years, like, if he even came back to do one box set, that would be enough for me. And, you know, we got three full series out of him. So I cannot fault him for, you know, taking a step away from the role again, because I've got more than I ever could have possibly hoped for. And I thought it was a pretty good set to end on. I thought it was a really nice, particularly that last episode, Archipelago by Tim Foley. That was brilliant. And, you know, to actually get the River Song meeting with him, not just once, but three times, I'm glad they were able to pull that off, and it was such a good set. We also had Lost Stories. We had Death World and Operation Werewolf. I think out of the two, Operation Werewolf definitely was my highlight. It was really flipping good to get a proper second Doctor story with Michael Troughton and Fraser Hines and Wendy Padbury. You know, like a set during the original run. Michael Troughton's just brilliant. I think he's one of the best recasts they've done, full stop. So that was excellent. That was fantastic. Really enjoyed Trial of a Time Lord and the Stuff of Legend as well. And I was also quite a fan of The Quintessence, which is the most recent third Doctor set with the Cybermen. Because it sort of goes back and revisits the world and the atmosphere of Spare, or, you know, spoilers, you know, obviously, if you're listening to this, it goes back and revisits the world and the tone and the feeling of Spare Parts in a way that I think was more directly referential to Spare Parts than I expected. I thought it was great. I had a great time with it. So that's my highlights from what, you know, we've had since we've been off air. I think it's been a strong enough wee run for Big Finish, mostly.
Yeah, it's definitely been a pretty strong few months, I think. I did enjoy Operation Werewolf, and I know exactly what you mean. It's a little bit long, but it's recreating a late 60s Doctor Who six-parter. Yes, it's a little bit long. Of course it is. We've had some good Torchwood. We've had some great Torchwood. We've had Art Decadence, which introduces us to this sort of 1920s aristocratic Mara infested Torchwood, which was great. I enjoyed Endgame, which was Tosh Torchwoods are always good, but I think it might be the best Tosh Torchwood we've ever been given. And we've had loads of Morbius. Like, we've not seen or heard from Morbius for absolutely years, and all of a sudden we get an entire Dark Gallifrey Morbius series, which was exceptionally unique. I really don't think we've ever had anything else like it from Big Finish. And we've had a proper War Doctor versus Morbius horrible, nasty battle. Like, I love the idea of Morbius popping up in the Time War and just deciding to ignore everything else that's going on, getting a load of Time Lords on side and going after the Doctor, like proper vengeance style. It was a really, really good release. I had an awful lot of fun with it. And Jonathan Carley is, I mean, I will always say this for the rest of time, just such an incredible War Doctor. Like, how anybody can just be so close to an actor as great as John Hurt and make me believe it is him all the way through flawlessly is beyond me. It's just such an achievement. Had a lot of fun with Trials of a Time Lord, kind of. It was sort of the Sixth Doctor's Five Doctors, kind of. Or Power of the Doctor, or something like that, anyway. Having a great time with Bernice Summerfield, the new Benny series, which we've still got one to go. And going back to what you were saying about Michael Troughton being absolutely fantastic in his father's role, by far the best thing about the about Trespassers 3, the Paternoster Gang set that came out, well, a few days before recording this. It'll be a few weeks old by the time this goes out, but he was absolutely fantastic in that. Like, the Second Doctor and Vastra were a nice little double act. I really enjoyed hearing that. So yeah, we've had some great stuff. And it looks like we're getting some good stuff, even sort of immediately after recording this. In the next few weeks, we're getting an Eighth Doctor set that I'm very much looking forward to. And the next few Torchwoods announced all sound rather good. And
I think they've announced the release dates now, and I'm not sure if this is the very last release of the year or the second last, but The Curse of Time, I think it's called The Curse of Time, which is the first four-part Fourth Doctor, Sarah Jane Smith and Harry Sullivan story they've released. They've only released one totally original, brand new to Big Finish story with the Fourth Doctor and Sarah so far. That was in the last Classic Doctor's New Monsters set. But this is the first four-part serial they've done with Tom Baker and, you know, with Sarah Jane Smith and Harry Sullivan. And I'm desperately excited to hear it.
The first proper season 12 story.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And I like that it apparently is like a wee coda to season 12. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I think that'll be a lot of fun. And it's a TARDIS team we've really, really waited for. Like, I did enjoy them in Return of the Cybermen and the other Lost stories we've had them in. But, you know, we've had quite a lot of Harry with the Fourth Doctor and Naomi and then UNIT and then the Seventh Doctor. We've had quite a lot of Sarah with the Third Doctor, but this is what we want. We've wanted the Season 12 team ever since they've had the Fourth Doctor and Sarah and Harry as active characters at Big Finish, haven't we? Surely that's what we've all been waiting for.
How long has it been now since Return of the Cybermen, which was Sarah Jane's first, you know, it was the first recast Sarah Jane story. That was back in...
Was it 20 or 21?
2021, I think, because it wasn't far off Eccleston coming in. So that was 2021. That's quite a long time.
Yeah.
And I think I know it's just how Big Finish record, but that feels like a long time to wait for a brand new Sarah Jane Smith and Fourth Doctor story. It feels strange that we're only getting that now, but I'm glad it's finally here.
Yes. I do sincerely hope that at some point in the distant future, because we know the Fourth Doctor is recorded the best part of a decade in advance at this point, I'd love to think that we were getting another series with Romana as well. Like, the Fourth Doctor and Romana have been such a great pairing at Big Finish. But I'm more than happy to wait for that if it means we're getting more Four and Sarah or Four Sarah and Harry.
Yes. Yes.
Let's address the elephant in the room that we've already done two very long episodes about. But obviously, Telly Doctor Who, we've had series one since we were last regularly online as a podcast. And we did do a couple of episodes at the time. We covered half the series in one and the second half of the series in the other. And overall, think we enjoyed it. Think that maybe the finale left us feeling a little bit, I don't know, shortchanged? Is that a fair word to use?
I think the fairest thing I can say about it is that I am a little... It's not that I'm not excited, but I'm feeling a little more ambivalent about what's to come than I usually do. Which is to say that I don't ever feel ambivalent about Doctor Who, and I sort of do this time. I think... I think I didn't make much secret at the time. I wasn't a huge fan of series one. I thought some of the individual stories were pretty good, but the overall effect of it left me feeling a wee bit cold. Joy to the World looks good. I'm glad it's a Stephen Moffat script, because I think I'm maybe slightly more predisposed to like a Stephen Moffat script. And I'm really glad it's back on Christmas Day. I had wondered for a wee while, because have you seen the BBC schedule for Christmas Day this year? It's absolutely
insane.
It's Wallace and Gromit, it's Doctor Who, Gavin and Stacey. It is the best Christmas schedule they've had for years. And I had sort of thought, I wonder, is Doctor Who going to get bumped to Christmas Eve or Boxing Day? Because, you know, to make room for... It's Wallace and Gromit and Gavin and Stacey are 90 minutes each. But the BBC have made the right decision and they've taken Michael McIntyre off instead.
yes, very so, correct decision.
So Doctor Who's still on Christmas Day, where it belongs. I think it was all, I always said I thought it was a shame that Doctor Who was taken off Christmas Day. And I'm glad it's back there now. I'm looking forward to it. It looks like a good story. Trailer came out yesterday. It's a good trailer. You know, at the time of recording, it was yesterday. So I am looking forward to it. But I think it's fair enough to say season one has put a little bit of a dampener on my excitement for what's coming next from Tully Doctor Who, which is fine because I have Big Finish and I will be quite happy with it and the books as well.
I think that I'm definitely looking forward to Wallace and Gromit more, but I think that's fine. That's right. I don't think that's any sign of where I am with Doctor Who at the moment. I think it's just, oh my God, more Wallace and Gromit.
Yes. Yes. They are, I was going to say they're national treasures. They are the national treasures.
Yeah. I'm not sure how good. I know there has been stuff, but I've not seen any of it. I'm not sure how I'm going to cope with not Peter Salis Wallace.
He's very good. He is genuinely indistinguishable to my ears.
Like I think that at the time of Matter of Loaf and Death, it was kind of half and half, wasn't it? Maybe.
I think pretty much for the last 10 years, it's not been very much Peter Salis. You know, I think from 2010 on.
He's been dead for a good 10 years. But yeah.
It sort of
inhibits your ability to
even before
to
that,
play
I
the character.
A
but
lot,
not at Big Finish.
Yeah. I haven't quite gone that far just yet. I didn't realize he'd been dead that long. I think even before he passed away, it was Peter Salis did the actual Wallace and Gromit, and Ben Whitehead did everything else, all of the supplementary stuff. So
yes. He's
very, very, very good to my ears. And, you know, I'm listening to the trailers, or I'm watching the trailers and listening for it, and it just sounds like Wallace to me. So
I'm very much looking forward to it. And we're doing very well on art. We're only talking about Doctor Who episodes so far, so that's good. I'm still in pretty much the same place with season one. I've not rewatched it. I've not sort of felt as though I want to go and rewatch it. And normally when there's a new series of Doctor Who, within 6 months, I will have watched it again. I'm a lot busier now than I was in the days of RTD1 when I was quite young. It hasn't at any point sort of made me want to go back and I need to do that again. I need to catch up. Is there anything I've forgotten? Because I genuinely don't think there is anything I've forgotten. I don't think there's anything being carried over to a Christmas special or a new series that I kind of need to remind myself of. I could be wrong, like I say, I'm not being back to it, but it felt as though season one tied pretty much everything that was dangling off, and in a few cases, not very satisfactorily. We've got the Mrs. Flood thing, but that's not really gone anywhere yet.
No, judging by the trailer, I think the Christmas special is going to deal on a little bit of the fallout of Ruby leaving. And I have watched the finale twice. I've watched everything else once. I've watched the finale twice. And looking back, I think it's half and half that Ruby left and half the Doctor decided to leave Ruby behind for her own, for what I think he thought was her own good, which you could argue was not his decision to make. But I think the trailer seems to be dealing with some of the fallout from that, how the Doctor feels in the wake of a companion leaving him. So that's good material. It's good material for Stephen Moffat in particular. So I think that'll be good. I want to know what's going to happen with Mrs. Flood. I think she was great. I think Anita Dobson's great. And I'm looking forward to that. I don't expect to get any answers or hints on what's going on with her until the end of season two. I think that's the absolute earliest we'll find anything out about Mrs. Flood.
Yes, I'd agree. But it's you know, I'll watch it. I'll be there on Christmas Day, probably after one too many glasses of wine, and I will be watching it. And then I'll probably need to rewatch it a few days later due to the aforementioned wine. But that's a tradition. So yeah, roll it on. Roll on Christmas Day. I'm definitely here for it. But I'm kind of in the same position as you, where sort of take me back 10, 15 years and I'd be counting down to new Doctor Who, not to Christmas. And I think that's the difference. Maybe we've just grown up.
Never.
I think that's it. No, never. No, we're not doing that. We're definitely not doing any of that nonsense. Okay, then. So we've talked about our Big Finish highlights. I'm going to make you pick one.
Oh, God.
One Big Finish release since we went off air that has been the best or the most significant.
That I would pick as a favourite. I think we're going to talk about it fairly shortly. It's quite possibly goth opera, because the novel adaptations were such a big part of my early Big Finish listening. I got into Big Finish 2015, end of 2015, start of 2016. And the novel adaptations were sort of at their height around about then, if I remember rightly. So I listened to a lot of those, the likes of All Consuming Fire, and Cold Fusion was a big one. It was great to hear those, because I cannot bear the thought of trying to track down these novels via eBay and pay for them. I've got very one or two. I went and got All Consuming Fire because I flipping love Doctor Who and Sherlock Holmes. And I thought, yes, I need that novel. But I don't particularly feel the need to go out and buy like a whole set of Virgin New Adventures, because the thought of having to track them all down terrifies me. So I'm always delighted to get these adaptations. And goth opera was actually the only one that I've ever read before I've listened to the adaptation. I got goth opera a couple of years ago. And it was the only one that I was in any way familiar with before I listened to the Big Finish version. So it was nice sitting and listening, going, oh, I recognize that, or oh, they've changed that bit. So I think I would pick it as my favorite from this year. So far, anyway, since we've been away.
That's fair enough. It's definitely a good one. It's definitely up there. I mean, I'm scrolling through the app because I've thought about this so many times and come out with something slightly different each time. I think I am going to have to settle on Morbius the Mighty, War Doctor.
Yeah.
I really, really enjoyed it. And it wasn't big or clever. It was just, let's go to war. It was just nice and simple, vengeance-filled Morbius going after the War Doctor with the Time War as a backdrop. And it held the Daleks back towards the... I mean, the Daleks had to be in it. There's no way they weren't going to do Morbius versus Daleks versus the Doctor. And like Morbius having a pop at the Daleks was quite a lot of fun. But they held that back to the last episode. So the first episode was pretty much just Morbius coming back and strengthening himself. The second episode was him going after the Doctor and them having a bit of a confrontation. And then the third episode just threw the Daleks into it. It was just a really nicely structured set that did something really well with actually quite a simple and basic idea. Like, there's the Doctor, there's somebody that wants the Doctor dead, let's do it.
Yes.
I really enjoyed that. And it was great to listen to around the Morbius Dark Gallifrey series as well, which I have to admit I did not enjoy on the first listen. I listened to one and two and just kind of went, oh, no, I'm not getting this. I'm not clicking with this. And somebody said to me, re-listen to it before the third one comes out, re-listen to it, and then you can listen to one, two, and three as a whole. And I did. And I listened to the whole series as a whole in one day and it just clicked. I just got it. And it was really weird how parts one and two just did not click with me the first time round, and the second time, listening to them as a full series, it all just fell into place. And I don't think I've ever sort of turned round my opinion on a new release so quickly before. So it was great to have that, and then it was great to have Morbius the Mighty, which just... it thematically linked to it, and whether, you know, the release schedule is just kind of worked out quite nicely there, or whether it was a deliberate decision to kind of have a lot of Morbius all at once.
Well, it was a direct sequel, wasn't it? I have to admit with it, like, I didn't listen to, I haven't heard the Morbius Dark Gallifrey series, but I have heard Morbius the Mighty, and it is a direct sequel to the Dark Gallifrey run, isn't it?
It's a direct sequel to anything that's had Morbius in before, really. It's very much Morbius is really annoyed with the Doctor because of Brain and Vengeance and Dark Gallifrey. Let's just really go for it. Like I say, it was just a really simple idea done well, and it reminded me that, you know, we don't need to be big and clever. We don't need to be timey-wimey and overly complicated. Actually, just a really, really straightforward, this character wants that character dead kind of scenario can work very well in Doctor Who. So I found it to be a really, really strong and enjoyable release. And I think it's the one that sort of stands out to me the most when I look through the list of stuff we've had. I mean, that's not to do down a lot of other stuff. I really enjoyed New River Song. I really enjoyed Starcrossed, which was also New River Song. And, you know, various other bits. Goth Opera was fantastic. I want the novel adaptations to come back. I want there to be one a month until they have done everything. Literally everything. I don't, like, give me the rubbish ones. I don't care. I just want all of them. I want a full set. And when you think of some of the stuff that they've not done, like, give me that. What's the trilogy with kind of those Alton twins in it? I know there's a couple with the Sixth Doctor. Is the first one Scales of Injustice? It might be.
Absolutely no idea.
I can't remember. Well, it's Business Unusual and Instruments of Darkness, which are both Sixth Doctor books, but they are sequels to an MA, and I can't remember what it is.
Gary Russell did that was it a regeneration story or something? Was it Spiral Scratch?
Yes.
Was that part of it?
No, that wasn't part of it, but that was a thing. But I just sort of think, you know, take the ones that aren't so popular, that aren't so well remembered, and just see what you can do with them. I'd actually rather them try to adapt something that's a little bit less beloved, just to see if they can do something with the adaptation, just to see if it works better on audio or anything like that. Because while you're going back and just adapting the classics, you're not going to hit the nail on the head in the way that the books do, if that makes sense. They're lovely to have. They're great, don't get me wrong. And like I say, I will take any novel adaptation Big Finish want to throw at me. But
I must admit that I'm a fan of the way they've handled some of them, because they've been adapting them as single stories, you know. And they've, like, am I right in saying Damaged Goods, originally the book sits in the middle of a trilogy? Is that right?
I think so, yeah.
And the changes they make for the audio version, I really liked, because it came out just as they got the rights to the new series. I don't think I knew that they had got those rights fully at that point. I'm not sure. But I got Damaged Goods at Christmas 2015. And I got that because it was a Russell T Davies story, and I thought, that's, you know, great for me. And you're listening through to it, and there's that really, it's really well done. It's the reveal they do about Torchwood, and
yes,
Torchwood replaced the villains of that trilogy, and that's great. That makes it standalone. It ties it in, you know, for a new series fan coming in. I think Damaged Goods is the best place to start at Big Finish, because it's so new series-y. And you suddenly do get this Torchwood drop, and then the Time War gets worked in a wee bit later on. That was beautifully done, I think, you know, as far as adapting a story goes, to take one set of villains and replace them with this other really super recognizable bunch. I thought that was great. Maybe people who read the original book thought it was sacrilege. I thought it was great.
I do absolutely love that, but I also think they're absolute cowards for not making it the Forge. Not that it makes any sense to do so, but...
I would have been sitting there. I can't remember when I listened to that. I think I'd listened to that on Boxing Day or something like that that year. I would have been sitting there going, who? And instead I was going, oh my God, it's Torchwood!
Well, dragging the conversation back to goth opera then,
yes.
which was our first novel adaptation for absolutely years, and I don't get the whole, well, they never sold very well thing, because everybody seems to love them. Everybody that I've ever talked to about Big Finish has kind of gone, yeah, I love the novel adaptations, they need to do more. It's the most in-demand thing to come back, except perhaps Frobisher.
Oh, this is such a sore point with Frobisher. I think they probably sold about as well as any other Big Finish sales, which wasn't enough to cover the costs of making them. Because there's, like, if you look at the cast of goth opera, even it's absolutely stacked, and it's a big 3-hour play, you know. You know, they do require a larger cast. I think there was a bit more doubling up with goth opera than the other ones. Maybe they're trying to cut down on the production side of it a wee bit, you know, the production costs. But I really enjoyed it. I thought it was great.
Yeah, I see what you mean. It was a huge cast, and it I think it did it well. Like, it's funny because it's one of those books that's just so well beloved throughout fandom that even though I've never read it, I kind of knew the gist of it already. Like, there was nothing in there that surprised me. I do kind of wish they'd have done whatever the new adventure is that it ties into as well.
It's Blood Harvest.
Blood Harvest, that's the
which
one.
Comes first, it's the Seventh Doctor, and it comes first, and then goth opera comes after.
And that's it. Goth opera, it felt like it was a sequel. It felt like I've missed something here because I've not had Blood Harvest, which wasn't a problem. Like, at no point did it take me out of the story, because, again, you know, I've got the fandom perspective of I know it links to another story. I know that this is taking place during or after other events, but yeah, it was good. It was a great release. It was a lot of fun. I did find the stuff with the theme music, and there were just a few little productiony things in there that seemed a little bit strange. And have they altered them now?
I haven't heard the new version, but I understand they have. And I have to be completely honest, I think it was a mistake to do so. I actually really liked the different way the theme was used, because the music was done to tie into it. If you listen to the soundtrack in the build up to certainly the first cliffhanger,
yeah,
it has been arranged to tie in with the opening version of the theme.
Absolutely.
If it has been changed, which I suspect it has, my honest opinion is that it should not have been.
I thought it worked really well. I thought it was something different. I also, it gave it a little bit more of a, I guess, a cinematic quality. It felt more like this is the Fifth Doctor, Nyssa and Tegan, the movie, as opposed to this is just another story.
Yes, I you can make an argument that it was different for, you know, for difference's sake. I think it worked pretty well. I liked that it made this feel like something out of the ordinary, because it is. It's a novel adaptation. It's not your average run-of-the-mill Big Finish Doctor Who. And I liked that it had these wee things to mark it out as a slightly alternative thing. I saw a lot of people complaining, oh, they've used the door sounds wrong, that's not on, etc., etc. The only argument I get for that is that this is an audio drama, and yes, the door opening sound of the TARDIS notes them going outside, and yes, you sort of do need... That's important on audio, I think. It sounds good. It's a good sound. I think there's enough cues, you know, for you to understand that they're still inside the TARDIS. I know this is getting into a really nitty-gritty thing, but a lot of people, certainly from what I saw, talked more about this stuff than they did about goth opera as a story. I know there was a lot of complaints, and I am sad that Big Finish did change it in response to those, because I thought it worked well, and I liked it.
I mean, it's like it's Big Finish's own release, the Snyder Cut, isn't it?
Pretty much. And do you know what makes me sad more than anything else? It was, I think this was a deliberate artistic choice by the director or the sound designer. I think, you know, probably the director, not sure. But I think it was a deliberate choice. The soundtrack, as I said, builds up to the theme being used in the way that it is. And I'm sad that it was changed for the sake of this slavish accuracy to 1981, you know.
The first mistake is they're adapting a book from the mid-90s.
Yeah.
Isn't 1980s Doctor Who. This is 1990s Doctor Who.
Yeah.
So it can be different.
I thought the original version, which I have on CD, I haven't replaced the discs. They sent me discs out and I wish they hadn't. They sent me the replacement discs, as I say, and I really wish that they hadn't done that because I'm not going to listen to them. I like the original version as is. I'm sad that I can't get the original version now as a download. I wish they had kept that even as a bonus release, that you could listen to the original version as intended. I'm pretty sad that it got changed, as I say, just for the sake of being really slavishly accurate to 1981 or 1982 or whenever it's Big Finish think it was meant to have been produced.
See, this is, I'm going to go back and listen to it now to see just how heavily it has been changed. Like, I had no problems with it listening to it the first time round at all, and it is kind of a shame that that original version may now be lost, which makes me wish I'd just downloaded it on day one as opposed to apped it. But we'll talk more about the app in a bit.
Yeah, yes. yes, because I know we've talked about a lot of, you know, the problems with goth opera, but the story itself's great. I love it. It's a nice, refreshing, you know, it's a nice, refreshing, not London-centric classic Doctor Who story. You know, it's set in Manchester and it automatically has a different feel for it. It's playing in the whole vampire realm, which I don't think Doctor Who does quite enough. Certainly not as part of run-of-the-mill Doctor Who and not the likes of, you know, Time Lord Victorious or whatever, just as a big special thing. I like Doctor Who delving into that side of things. So I really enjoyed it. I thought it was great to hear this version of a story I already knew and enjoyed. I just really liked it. As I say, probably my favourite release of the year. Really, really good.
Excellent stuff. Yeah, I did thoroughly enjoy it, and it was, I was looking forward to it. I have to admit that I've had so much to listen to, Doctor Who and otherwise, recently, that I've not really had the time to anticipate new releases, and I've kind of gone, oh, that's coming out, and it's going to interrupt listening to this instead. But this was one that I was very much like, no, the day this comes out, I'm getting it downloaded and I'm getting it listened to. I really can't wait for this one. And it did not let me down in the slightest. And I'm going to argue that the Doctor and Nyssa did a load of repairs on the TARDIS leading up to Ark of Infinity. And TARDIS doors are meant to make that noise. And they repaired that. And then Tegan rejoined them and a few adventures, including goth opera, happened. And then for some reason, the TARDIS doors stopped making the noise again because the TARDIS got broken again. There we go.
Tegan broke it.
Even better. There we go. Sorted. Done. There we go. Right. Come on, Big Finish. We'll have the original version back now, please. God, can you imagine the reaction of these people when they watched The Five Doctors and the ending theme was a little bit different?
I'm just very done with the whole approach of this isn't exactly like how I remember. I'm not going to like this. You know, we're not making Doctor Who in 1970X or 1980X. We're making Doctor Who in 2024, soon to be 2025. Make Doctor Who for today.
Yes, absolutely. Couldn't agree more. I think that's something our next release for discussion has done, which is the Coda. The sort of final Once and Future release that's come over a year after the last one. And I mean, Once and Future, we'll talk about another time. It wasn't as well received as perhaps a lot of people would have hoped, but I think there's still some absolutely fantastic stuff to find in there. But I think Coda might be the strongest release of the lot. And I can't work out whether I genuinely do think it's the strongest release of the lot. It's definitely a contender. Or whether I just think Joe Martin is so amazing that you could hand her anything and she's going to turn it into some of the best Doctor Who you've ever heard.
I completely agree with what you say about it being the best of the Once and Futures. I thought it was good to end that series on a high. Joe Martin, I'm really, really excited for Joe Martin coming to Big Finish because obviously we did not get enough of her on TV. One of the best things about the Chibnall era, and she was, four on-screen credits? And three of those were basically cameos,
yeah.
Yeah, so brilliant that she managed to make such an impact in such a short period of time, and I'm glad now she's getting to expand on that through Big Finish. That's brilliant. And I think, looking back, like even in David Tennant and Christopher Eccleston's case, I think it took them an episode or two to settle back into the roles and get their voices back. Jo Martin, straight in. I thought she was exactly the same she was on TV. I thought she was fantastic. Instantly nailed her own role again. I don't think this was a case of her finding her feet. I think she stuck the landing, and I think she was excellent. And a real thrill to hear this, you know, it's a new version of the Doctor on audio. It's all, you always get that excitement whenever you're here listening to, you know, a new Doctor coming to Big Finish. And in my case, I think that's only happened with David Tennant and Christopher Eccleston. As I say, I don't think there's any others have joined Big Finish in the time that I've been listening to them. So, hooray, Joe Martin's here.
Jacob Dudman is furious with you.
Doesn't count. but do you know what I mean? It's great to be sitting down listening. Oh my God, it's that person off the telly and they're here. They've joined the party. And we're going to get that again with Jodie Whittaker. And I'm really looking forward to that. But I think Joe Martin aced this. And I'm glad that she got a nice big focus episode in Coda.
Yeah, quite right. Because it's kind of it's sort of a look into the future thing. From a Big Finish point of view, like, you know, we've got loads of adventures with this whole brand new Undiscovered Doctor coming up. So here she is as part of the 60th anniversary celebrations, as she should be, even if it came out on the 61st anniversary or the day before the 61st anniversary. But yeah, great. And I'm really, really looking forward to, is it next month? Is it January?
Yep, it is. It's not far away at all. And they tied it in as well, because there's a bit at the end where she realises she's being followed by Cosmo, who is Alice Creech's character from from the Fugitive Doctor series. So they tied it in. It's brilliant that they got this all done at the same time.
Yep, this is very much our starting point. I do think we should come back to Once and Future. I think that we should do an episode on Once and Future, because I'm going to re-listen to it relatively soon.
I've just finished a run through. I did it in the lead up to Coda coming out, and it's. I think it's probably a universal truth of Big Finish because of the way they release stuff, you know, monthly. In so many cases like this, I think it's, you know, we said this before as well about the Fifth Doctor 40. It's much better to listen to this as one series, because I think I got more out of it this time than I did on first listen, but. That's not to say I think it's a work of art. I certainly think the series had its problems, but Coda was a great ending. I think it really did end on a high. Just a great story. And the perfect, it's one of the few cases in Once and Future, and we're looking at the two main characters who've been, you know, put together and said, actually, that makes tons of sense for those characters to meet, and, you know, for this to be a battle between the Fugitive Doctor and the War Doctor, the two forgotten incarnations, the two slightly more not business as usual incarnations.
Well, I'm definitely expecting to get a lot more out of it listening to it as one big run. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that, and I'm going to listen to it as part of the War Doctor's timeline. So it's my intention to kind of try and do the Time War in order, if such a thing is possible. So I'll be starting with sort of the classic Doctor, new monsters, Eighth Doctor stories where he's just sort of on the edge of it and not quite there yet. And then I'll go into the Eighth Doctor Time War, and then I'll go through the regeneration and follow it that way with stops off for the War Master and Gallifrey and all that kind of thing. But Once and Future is going to fit quite nicely in there. I think I've put it after War Doctor Begins, like after the six sets.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens there.
I was going to say, I think that's probably the perfect place for it, is between War Doctor Begins and War Doctor Rises.
Let's talk about one more Big Finish release that we have had before we move on to, well, before we end even. And that is Stuff of Legend, which is Big Finish doing something a bit different. They did this as a live recording. I never got there. I never went to the live recording. I don't think you did you?
I wish I had. I wish I could have made it. But just the time it was announced, it was only announced like a month and a half before it was due to happen. And it just was not enough time to book flights over to England.
Yeah. Whereas I just had 700,000 million things on and unfortunately wasn't even able to think about it. But I do know people who have been there. They said it was, who were there even. They said it was absolutely fantastic. At this point of recording, this is another one of those, when we record, it's not out, but I suspect by the time this episode is online, it will. We've got the live version actually to be released. So everything I'm talking about here is based off the studio version that they released on the same day that the live recordings went ahead. And I really enjoyed it. It was just a nice, traditional four-part Doctor Who story, Eighth Doctor and Charlie. And okay, yes, Master and the Daleks were there. That was a little bit big and over the top. But of course, it had to have the Master and the Daleks in. It's a special, you know, designed for live recording story. But ultimately, it's just a really nice, solid, traditional slice of Doctor Who. It took me right back to when I first listened to the Eighth Doctor and Charlie stuff. I would say it fits in perfectly, but apparently some people have been getting wound up about Charlie knowing what Daleks are, continuity error. Don't care at all. It was fun. It was just nice to kind of celebrate Doctor Who a bit, listen to something that was a little bit bigger and a little bit more special, but ultimately fit very nicely into an era that I really, really enjoy revisiting. What about you?
I loved it. I'm in the same position. I've heard the studio version, and I believe there's one or two differences just in terms of cast members. I really liked it. I'm a big fan of them doing just really light, breezy stories that you can listen to, you know, not as part of a run. So I'm always glad to get this sort of thing, you know, where it's a wee 2-hour blitz through of a Doctor Who story. And I'm very happy. You know, I think if you're going to see Doctor Who on stage in any form, you sort of want a big iconic villain or two. And in this case, it's the Master and the Daleks. And hurrah. Yeah, perfect choices. Don't care that it doesn't fit into the continuity just so neatly. I do not care a jot. Because that's not the point of this sort of thing. When you're going to see something on stage like Doctor Who, you want to see them with a big iconic villain. And in this case, they chose the Daleks and the Master. And brilliant choice. If you're going to see Paul McGann on stage and, you know, there's a Master going to be in it, for a Big Finish fan, you want that to be Alex McQueen. And I'm glad he came back. I think his appearances have been far too few and far between. So hurrah, he came back. Brilliant. I think, judging from what I've seen of the live performance, it looked like a pretty special occasion. Paul McGann on stage as the Doctor in his costume from Night of the Doctor. There's a video trailer they released from it, which the BBC actually put out rather than Big Finish themselves. And it was taken from material recorded at the event. And there's a few shots of Paul McGann and India Fisher as the Doctor and Charlie coming out of the TARDIS, coming out of the police box doors, standing at the TARDIS console. And it's the classic console. It's not the Paul McGann one, but I don't care. It's the Doctor and Charlie. It's the first time we've seen the Doctor and Charlie on a screen at the controls of the TARDIS. And it looked just those few seconds of that in that wee trailer is pure magic to me.
Just make the bloody series, Russell. Just do it now.
That's the long and short of it. But it, you know, looking back at that, I was just like, oh my God, that's the Doctor and Charlie. I'm seeing the two of them in character for the first time. You know, I have heard the trailer for the live version, and I think that sounds, I honestly don't think I'm going to hear, I'm not going to get the live version. I've bought the story once already. I don't need to buy it again. But like, there's the line in there, there's the wee Whisnail and I reference where he says, oh, Charlie, we've accidentally gone on holiday by mistake. And that's in the trailer, and it got such a cheer from the crowd. Can you imagine being in that room for all those wee jokes and stuff like that? That would have been brilliant. So I hope they do more. I hope there's a slightly longer period, you know, of an announcement for it that I can actually get over to the next one. So I hope they do more. I think it's a great idea. And I would love to get the one. I think they look a lot like a lot of fun. And if they do it with Paul McGann, that would be great. If they do it with other doctors, that's also great. I think this sort of thing should be spread around, and we should be able to see the old doctors on stage. If the actors are ready and willing to do so.
I think they should give us VIP. We should just be able to rock up and go, Johnston and Connor, Spodcast.
That would be nice. But I think we're dreaming.
I think we are. That is not why we do this. But yeah, no, I'd be really tempted to go to something, but I agree with you. I think I just need a little bit more notice. And also, something Big Finish might not be aware of, actually. There are other bits of the UK, better bits than London. So you could come here.
Actually, my only issue with the whole thing is that I think they probably could have... I will not buy an audio recording of the live one, not for, I think, the price that's being charged for it. I would buy a video recording of it. I think I would love to see this thing, you know. And obviously they recorded it because they've done the video trailer for it. I wish they would release a live video recording because I would buy that.
Yeah, I'd love a DVD release or a Blu-ray release or a just send me the video file for a tenner release, whatever. I'd quite like to see it. I'd quite like to see the video. I'd quite like the visual of that one.
Yeah, for sure.
Because, as you say, we've bought the story and heard the story already, and I fully appreciate that a live recording is entirely different to something done in a studio. I'm a vinyl collector, and there's a lot of that. But, I think, really, I'd want to see what went on. For me to buy that one. Either that or give it a year or two and they'll stick it on a sale and I'll just go, oh yeah, I've not heard that for a couple of years. It'll be interesting to listen to the other version.
But, oh yeah. If it goes on sale down the line, I can absolutely see myself getting it.
Yeah, totally. I'm certainly never not going to get it, but I'm certainly not going to get it when it comes out in the next couple of weeks, purely because I've got the studio version and I don't have that "well, I was there" connection. Yes. If it was there, I'd have it like a shot, but there we go. So one more thing to talk about, and then we will wrap up our first episode back. We're not done. We're going to do while we were away again, part two, because there's so much we want to talk about. Like, we still want to talk about what we know is coming up across the next year. We want to talk about some other stories that we've enjoyed, such as Trials of a Time Lord, Time War Reflections, like the Eighth Doctor's had a really good Time War set too. Go into those lost stories a little bit more. But there is one elephant-filled room
that we've strolled past a couple of times and not put our heads into.
To be perfectly honest, like, this thing has genuinely completely changed the way I listen to Big Finish forever. That this is like, I've always used the Big Finish app. I've always gone to the Big Finish app. I've always filled the Big Finish app with playlists and running orders and scrolled through it and spent time going, oh, well, does this link to that? Could this be a marathon? How does that work? and the Big Finish app just went.
It's not even that it just went. It was an entirely self-inflicted went.
Yeah. But it was almost like the Big Finish app shot itself in the foot and went, no, that didn't hurt enough. Bang. Nope, still not hurting enough. But it just kept shooting itself in the foot. Like, it just, what was it doing?
So I know that so much of this was outside of Big Finish's hands. I know.
Oh, absolutely, you know, yes.
This was, I think this was a case of them being let down by their IT contractors. You know, I don't believe for a second that Nick Briggs has sat down and developed an app. You know, I think this is very definitely a case of them being let down by people who are not in Big Finish itself, but have been contracted to make this website and app for them. But I think from Big Finish's point of view, I think the quality checks on it just didn't happen, full stop. I don't believe for a second that someone at Big Finish actually sat down with the new app and looked, you know, actually used it before it was sent out to us all. Because if they had, this would not have all happened. And it was the fact then, so it was aggravating that the old app was taken away and the new one was put on and we had to use it, and it just full stop didn't work. It was unusable. It was the fact that we then rolled back and people were missing their library and people were missing out on, you know, like new releases weren't syncing in. Stuff like that, you know, I think was pretty shoddy. They have since, you know, made all the right noises and given all the right apologies and brought back the app and got it working again. I felt really scared in those, what was it, like a fortnight or 3 weeks? It was longer than that. It was more than a month.
Overall, I think it was a month before anything relatively concrete happened.
It was a long time. It was a long enough time to get the app back to the state that it was once in, that it was usable. It's still not entirely there because it takes a really long time to rebuild your library whenever you know, pull down and refresh for a new release. It takes a solid minute or so for it to pull anything through, at least, which it didn't used to do. It used to be straight away. But obviously it's better than it was. And as I say, I know a lot of this was outside of Big Finish's hands. I went on full cold turkey Big Finish. I went to BBC Sounds for 3 or 4 weeks and listened to the likes of Sherlock Holmes with Clive Merrison and Charles Paris Mysteries. That was great. It was nice to get a wee bit of a break, actually, and listen to something that wasn't Doctor Who.
Oh, we need to do a Charles Paris episode. Like, just forget Doctor Who for a week. Let's just talk about Charles Paris Mysteries. They're amazing.
Yeah, I was really disappointed and I was really let down. And I actually thought this is pretty serious enough that I think Big Finish may possibly have just terminally shot themselves in the foot. This is something that they may not actually recover from. And to the extent that I went out and bought a hard drive and I have been loading it up with, you know, my Big Finish library, I've been doing what they've told us to do all along, which is to make a copy for ourselves and not rely on the app. And I hadn't done that. So I just, you know, I know you could download the stuff from the website, but when you're used to the app being this ultra convenient way of accessing your library, I have, you know, I didn't have anything on hand. I know I could have sat down and used the website, but the website itself was pretty unusable because you couldn't filter or sort through it all. So I, as I say, have now done what they've told us to do all along, which is I've gone out and bought a wee external drive and I've been using that exclusively just to hold my Big Finish library. I haven't got everything onto it yet. I'm chipping away at that slowly, but I don't want to end up in a position again where, you know, we can't use the app and the library is not conveniently accessible because I've spent far too much money and time building that up over the years and I do not want to lose it again. And for those few weeks, I genuinely did not think, that was the first time I've ever thought, right, Big Finish is actually not going to be around forever. I need to get this sorted, that I do not lose out on all of these stories. Yeah, I thought it was a pretty poor, but since it's happened, they've made the right noises. We've been given free stories, which is, you know, hurrah, stories we thought we'd never get, the likes of the Four Doctors and the Five Companions.
Free stories that were genuinely a gap in my collection, in the case of Four Doctors, yeah.
As apologies to your customers go, I think that's a pretty strong one. So I'm happy enough with that. I think they've recovered well from it, and they are to be given all the congratulations for it. It's just a shame that it happened in the first place.
I think, the main thing that concerns me is we're going to end up in a situation at some point in the future, probably relatively soon, where they go, right, we're trying that new app again. And they had better be really, really certain that it is exceptionally ready to go.
It has to, for me, it has to have the features the current app does. It cannot launch again before that point.
Yeah.
Because you couldn't playlist properly. It was really shoddy for trying to switch between what you downloaded, what you'd purchased, all that sort of thing. The buttons just didn't work the way they should have done. So I will not be happy with the new app until it's released with the exact same functionality that the current one has.
So you say you started to back up your collection and that kind of thing. I've kind of taken that a step further, I guess. So I've taught myself an awful lot through doing this, but I have set up an audio bookshelf server, which is I'm hosting from a Raspberry Pi, a tiny computer, for those of you who don't know what a Raspberry Pi is. So what I've done is I'm still in the process of doing this. It's a very long, slow process, but I'm downloading Big Finish. I am backing it up on the microSD that's in this Raspberry Pi, and I am cataloging it, and it's all accessible to me through the Audio Bookshelf app. So it's kind of like the Big Finish app, except I control what goes on there. So whenever there's a new release, I've actually now managed to set up a Python script. I don't know the first thing about Python, but ChatGPT is a wonderful thing. I've managed to set up a Python script that will automatically download a new Big Finish release based on my RSS feed, stick it on there, and all I need to do is just put in which range it belongs to, and that's it. Boom, it's on there, ready to download at the end of the day. So, and I'm really happy this has happened. Like, I'm not doing it because the Big Finish app let me down over summer. I was in Florida, and all of a sudden I didn't have Big Finish to play with. So I'm not doing it because of that at all. It's genuinely something I've always liked the idea of doing. But not only have I got my Big Finish library, which is, I'm actually alarmed at how massive it is. It's far, far bigger than I actually thought it was, now that I'm actually going through it all and downloading it all and cataloging it all. But it's not only backed up, it's there and available on an app that actually gives me a lot more control over how I listen to, what I listen to, how I playlist and so on, than the Big Finish app did. And I've got other stuff on there as well. It's not just Big Finish I'm using this for. I've got loads of audio books, other audio dramas, stuff I've built up over years. You know, Lord of the Rings is all on there. BBC Radio's Lord of the Rings, which is just exceptional. And it's all available to me in the same way that my Big Finish library's been available to me on the Big Finish app. I'm really happy that I've done this. So this is something that's something good that's come out of the app fiasco on a personal level at any rate. So this is how I'm going to do it from now on. Like, sometimes it's a bit easier just to download on the app and listen to a new release if I want it in a hurry. But if I've got 5 minutes to just make sure it's on this server, okay, I've got that instead. That's a positive thing to come out of it, because I've learned an awful lot about getting it set up and all that kind of thing. And yeah, it's quite good. That's how I'll be going from now on.
Yeah, I completely 100% agree. That it sounds like a great wee project. And fair play to you for doing it. I'm still using the app because I'm not so technically minded. But as I said, Big Finish have recovered from this really, really well. They did the right thing. They brought the old app back. They brought the old website back. And they have given us lots of free stuff and made lots of nice apologies. So 100%, they have recovered really well. I do not feel the panic I said I felt before about them maybe not surviving it, but it did feel for a wee while like that was a genuine possibility. It was like, this might actually put them under if this is not fixed quickly. Because they couldn't release anything. You weren't, you know, you'd got pre-orders, you'd pre-ordered stuff and paid for it, and it wasn't being released. So,
but they'd released Operation Werewolf and told us we were going to get Death World the next day.
Yeah.
And then they launched the app the next day and we didn't get Death World the next day or the next week. And it was delayed for quite a while. Was it 2 weeks it was delayed by then?
It was longer, I think. It was due to come out in 1 month and it got bumped to the next.
Yeah.
And it came out quite late then, if I remember rightly. It was long. It was certainly a long time before I heard it.
Yeah. But we'll get to those two stories next time. Anyway, they're definitely worth a segment. But we have definitely run out of time for this, our first episode back. So we will return next week with While We Were Away Part 2. While We Were Away Again Part 2. We've been away before, but not this long. And we'll talk about some more Big Finish releases that we've really enjoyed while we've been off air. And we'll also have a little look forward to next year and work out what it is we're particularly looking forward to. But in the meantime, like I say, we'll leave it there. So I will say thank you to Connor for joining me.
Thank you very much. It's been great to get back into this.
I have missed this. I really missed this. And we'll be back. We'll be back to do more of it very, very soon. Goodbye now.